All right, so welcome back, Matt. I think we decided we're going to go ahead and split this into two episodes. So just a quick reminder, you know, nothing that we're really talking about is the beliefs or teachings of our churches and employers. It's just kind of our opinions, what we like to talk about. So hopefully you watched the episode prior, right? It's over on the page. I'll link it up here somewhere. I think I'm usually in the top right. I'll link it up there. Yeah, I'll try to make you be the one pointing at it. So we started talking about the teachings of Scientology. Oh, Matt. So we covered last time the writings, right? So Dianetics, the cosmology, so the Thetans and all the metaphysics that goes with that, and some of their practices and auditing and training. So this go ahead.
If you didn't listen to the first part, you're going to be very confused about the second part.
Right. Yeah. So go do that first. We'll wait. All right. Thank you for doing that. So
that was so cheesy.
You know, sometimes we can be cheesy, Matt.
You're all out of ice over there.
I know it. My drink got all watery, so I just dumped the ice out. So this week we're going to talk about, or I guess this episode, we're going to talk about the ethics and moral code of Scientology and how that works.
So in Scientology, being in ethics is very important.
Mm-hmm.
So we're going to learn what that means.
Yeah. Well, it's hard to say necessarily what that means when you're not actively participating within the community to learn it, right? But they have this concept of dynamics. So the things in the universe that are affecting you, right? Or that you can affect. So your personal self, self-preservation, right, is a dynamic that is very important, right? Which is comes back to, like you said in the last episode, right, that sometimes lying on the behalf of Scientology is okay, right? Kind of falls into that self-preservation mode, right? It's important. His book, somewhere, you can't see it in the picture, but it's that one right there. It's called The Science of Survival, right? And it's all about self-preservation. I grabbed it because it had an expanded dictionary compared to Dianetics.
Okay.
But they also have dynamics that are related to family.
Well, you want to go through them? There's what, eight of them?
Sure, if you've got a list of them.
Yeah. The first dynamic, as you said, is the urge towards survival of self.
Mm-hmm.
The second dynamic is the urge towards survival through sex or children.
Right, so family.
Mm-hmm. The third dynamic is the urge to survival through a group of individuals or as a group.
Yep.
The fourth dynamic is the urge towards survival through all of mankind or as mankind itself.
Yep, as a species. Yep.
The fifth dynamic is the urge towards survival through life forms such as animals, birds, fish, vegetation even. Tomatoes mm-hmm. is a famous example. The sixth dynamic is the urge towards survival as the physical universe, which has the components of matter, energy, space, and time. This yep. is another Scientology spelling bee word here, MEST.
MEST, yep.
Matter, energy, space, and time. The seventh dynamic is the urge towards survival through spirits or as a spirit.
Right.
Anything spiritual. And then the eighth dynamic is the urge towards survival through the supreme being, or more exactly, infinity, since they don't infinity. Have an actual supreme being.
Right. Yep. And so
they have a concept about these dynamics, right? You're supposed mm-hmm. to be keeping so how many of these dynamics?
I was going to say, what I found was that you're encouraged to keep them all in balance, right? And that if your urge towards one thing was suppressing your urge towards another, right, that you were supposed to focus more on that other and bring it back into balance. So if you were most focused on self-preservation, right, and not focused on your family, right, you're supposed to step back and focus more on your family.
So from what I understand, the concept is the most dynamics for the greatest good.
Mm-hmm.
So you're, when you look at something and you're trying to make an ethical decision,
right,
what can you do that will use the most dynamics there?
Yeah.
That will help the most dynamics. I find this very interesting, this concept of these dynamics, because even in our secular society, our morality, our ethics is based on Judeo-Christian teachings.
Yeah.
Mm-hmm. You know? And so I find it very interesting, this entirely different way to look at morality and ethics here.
Mm-hmm.
I think they end up with a lot of similar results, and it still ends up a lot of, you said something very important there, and I'm not helping make this episode any shorter, but you said something very important there.
Sorry, that's why we split it into.
It's really hard to talk about this because you're not in that community.
Right.
And reading stories of people who've come out of Scientology, I see over and over again where different ethics were impressed upon them, different levels of things. What was in ethics? What wasn't in ethics? Mm-hmm. You know, some things are somewhat obvious in our culture. Talking back was a big thing, you know. I don't remember the definition. They have a special word for talking back. But that was a big thing. But also was, you know, women dressing immodestly.
Mm-hmm.
Unless it was for a certain number of the most dynamics, then you had a reason to do that.
Right.
For instance, the woman that they had basically prostitute out to Tom Cruise. You know, she was doing it to serve her religion.
Right.
She was trying to do the most dynamics, you know?
Mm-hmm.
So, you know, that changes. I just find it very interesting how it isn't based on the same thing, but in reality and practice, because they all grew up in the same stuff too. Not all of everybody in Scientology grew up in Scientology.
Right.
And our society still has Judeo-Christian basis for a lot of our ethics and morality, even if they're not practicing Christians or Jews or what have you.
Right.
So I find that very interesting. So Scientologists are encouraged to remember these dynamics, even as little children, and to think about what can they do to affect the greatest number of dynamics.
Yeah. So you also have the Code of Scientologists, right, which outlines the principles and guidelines that are to be followed, right? Much like the Torah, right, outlines the guides and principles of ancient Israel.
In a policy letter, or is this a separate thing?
I believe it came from a policy letter, yeah.
Okay.
So it provides them with all of their, how do you do these dynamics, right? How do you put this kind of stuff into practice? But it includes concepts such as respecting other people's religions.
So some, right? Scientologists talk about Scientology is not a religion, and some say it is a religion. Obviously, the IRS, they want to be a religion.
Mm-hmm.
But some people say you can be a Christian and be a Scientologist. You can be a Hindu and be a Scientologist. This is some of the recording things.
We're not to our response episode yet.
Okay.
But just from what I've read, you cannot be a Christian and be a Scientologist. It's not compatible.
I wouldn't think so, but I'm just saying that's one of the things they teach.
Yep.
They don't try to come out against any other religion.
Right.
The only people they're against is psychologists.
Right. Yep.
They're against them.
They're vehemently opposed to them. So they include things like pursuing knowledge, right, as one of their codes, right? We should always be pursuing something more, and bringing a positive contribution to society, right? That's a good thing, right? Again, you know, I feel like, and this is down a rabbit trail, but I feel like a lot of the times, Christians get a bad reputation, right, for opposing as purely evil anything that's not Christian. but we fail to recognize, right? And we fail to explain to others, right, that all good is God's good. All truth is God's truth, right? Whether it comes from a Scientologist, if it's true, it's true. If it's good, it's good, right? It's okay. It's okay to say that. It doesn't mean that we, you know, are all Scientologists and don't pray for them and for their repentance, but we can admit that they do some good things, right? They have done lots of good things, and we'll talk about some of those good things. I hope that we're going to talk about the good things in the social issues episode.
We're gonna try, but it's gonna be hard. I know
there's
think.
There's a lot of not good things.
Well, they lie about all the good things.
Yeah, but you know their ideas of promoting good stuff is not bad, right? So then you also have, and there's this ethics/moral code. Kind of this is the only spot it fits. The suppressive person, right? We talked about that in the last episode. That you and I would probably both fit into this category of suppressive person. So these are individuals who are actively working against Scientology. Practitioners are encouraged to avoid suppressive persons at all costs to benefit their own spiritual growth.
Well, this is the thing we'll talk about when we talk about their social issues is mm-hmm. this is their separation from family.
Right.
So if the church declared somebody an SP, this is basically how the church ostracizes people, how they oust people. If the church has declared somebody an SP and they're your wife, you're expected to divorce them.
Right.
Immediately. Now.
Yep.
If they're your mama, you should never talk to them again.
Yep.
Or you will be an SP. And they teach that they can drag you down.
Mm-hmm.
They can make you become an SP.
Yeah. So I we'll probably talk about this in social issues, so you can just give a monosyllabic yes or no. Is it possible to no longer be an SP?
Yes.
Okay. Good. So hopefully we'll talk about that.
Not often, but it's possible.
Right. Sounds like your UPS.
Yes, we had a little power blip. It happens sometimes when the air conditioner comes on.
Cool. So their ethics and justice system. So they have their own internal ethics and justice system, right? You know, we talked about their bureaucratic, their love for bureaucracy. So they have their own panel, their own officers, their own people that are charged with maintaining ethics within Scientology.
Oh, they have their own SS. Mm-hmm. They will, if they think there are people who watch what you do and people are encouraged to report, because again, because of the levels, they could be working on lower levels and they can get promoted out of those lower levels by snitching, especially in the Sea Org. The Sea Org is where this is really present. It's way more than the public Scientologists.
Mm-hmm.
So the Sea Org has a whole organization of people, often young girls and some young boys, whose job is to watch for ethics violations and snitch and report you. And then you have to have additional auditing done. They do offer forgiveness in a way that you can work your way out of the consequence. You can work your way out of being out of ethics. You know, there's always a path to get out of it. The path right. may be condemned to virtual slavery for 16 years, or maybe just doing a few classes. But there's a way to get out of it. But they have a whole, it's, again, bureaucracy, organization, mm-hmm. basically an SS to find people and report them.
Mm.
Again, the public Scientologists generally don't have to deal with this too much, except when they cause too big of a stink.
Right.
Like Leah Remini, who's got the stuff lately with the TV shows and the books and everything. Mm-hmm. Then she was declared out of ethics and eventually declared an SP. But right. she had a way of getting out of that, the trouble she was in, by doing more classes that she would have to pay for, of course.
Oh, yeah, of course.
Giving enough money, making amends to the church for the harm she supposedly done to them by speaking mm-hmm. out. So there's always a way out of that.
Right. Okay. So everything that they consider to be moral/ethical... comes straight from Hubbard's teachings. It's not that there's some ancient history of this kind of moral that they're reattributing. Although if you listen to Hubbard's teaching, it is ancient in the quadrillions of years ago. This is all stuff that's just been rediscovered, which was a common trope in the 60s mm-hmm. for cults. It's this whole idea of rediscovered ancient knowledge.
1960s, 1860s, and 1760s.
Yep. So that's a... We'll come back to several more groups, I'm sure, that fall into this category. But so everything came from him. There's not some higher being, right, that's enforcing these morals. It's all man-made, man-enforced.
Thing.
Right, yeah. And they're... True, you're right. The Thetans are the ones doing it. So we've already talked quite a bit about their bureaucracy, but
well, we talked about some of the structure, but not all of it.
Yeah, they follow a very hierarchical structure, right? Which I'm okay with. They have the international management right at the top, and then the various churches and stuff fall under that.
Well, now that's changed quite a bit over the years of who is in charge. One, it changed when they were a nonprofit and when they weren't a nonprofit because they lost their 501c3 for a while.
Yeah.
And then got it back. They split up, again, the whole bureaucracy thing, they split up into several different organizations. One organization owns the rights and stuff.
Mm-hmm.
They've changed over the years what organization was over the others. When David Miscavige took over, he changed some of that and reorganized stuff. Matter of fact, that's something that happened. We'll talk in the social thing about the whole.
Yeah.
They changed again when they had all the people, all the international leadership in the whole.
Mm.
Your position in the church and leadership is very, very fluid.
Right.
The only one who's definitely in the same position is David Miscavige. Even when Hubbard was in place, it was pretty fluid. He would often put people he didn't trust into positions and then move them around. There are people he would declare an SP and abandon it on an island, and then 6 months later pick them up and send them to California to form a whole new organization.
Right. Yeah, it's just kind of always...
So it seems hierarchical, and I guess it is, but there's really one man at the top of this organization. At the moment, that's David Miscavige.
Yeah, so it's...
The other stuff moves around.
Yeah. I kind of look at it, right, since we're trying to look at things from a Christian kind of perspective, it's very Roman Catholic hierarchy, right? You have the Pope as the single central person at the top, and then cardinals, and then other people, and then other people, and then priests, and then deacons, right? It just kind of flows downward towards the people and spreads out. It's kind of the way that I see their hierarchy structured. Whereas unlike the Catholic Church, it's much more fluid at the lower levels and you can move up and down and left and right.
Well, and even in the Catholic Church, that's kind of that hierarchy. What's the name of the group? It's not the Cardinal of Bishops. The group that elects the next Pope or selects the next Pope.
The Cardinals.
Yeah. That group changes all the time. The equivalent of that group in Scientology. Matter of fact, there is no... So, L. Ron Hubbard did not leave an official successor. David Miscavige just sort of took control and got rid of anybody who could take control. He left no official so-and-so is going to be in control of this. Right. He's kind of de facto control because of his office. And now he is COB, Chairman of the Board.
Chairman
of the Board. And he uses that as his thing. But there's no method to make someone else Chairman of the Board ever. There's no, like... familiar succession, remember he has no kids. There's not even one particular leader who's his number two all the time.
Right.
So who knows what's going to happen? He's getting old too, so who knows what's going to happen when he leaves. So yes, it is hierarchical, but it's like wavy hierarchical, right?
Right, yeah.
We covered the Sea Org already.
Yeah, did you know...
You got a note here.
I was going to say, did you know that many in the Sea Org take what's considered a billion-year commitment to the Sea Org?
Every one of them does.
Every one of them does. That is insane.
And often when they are children.
Right.
Or young teenagers. Many join the Sea Org really young. And yes, the idea is they get a 25-year reprieve when they die, and they get to come back in their next life and join the Sea Org again.
And they have to be back in the Sea Org.
Right.
Yep.
This includes Hubbard, by the way. He was supposed to be back by now. He was supposed to come back to the Sea Org, but he has not yet. They've even built him a house, a mansion there at Gold Base that they meticulously keep up, has a full staff. They are ready right now. His favorite food is prepared and ready for him at this moment.
So what you're saying is I could go and show up on a boat and claim to be Hubbard and come up with some reason that I hadn't been able to make it back in my 25-year enlightenment, and I could take over this organization?
Yes. The last guy that tried is in prison in Missouri, though. But he does have a small following of Scientologists.
Right.
That he leads from prison in Missouri. But yes, so they're waiting for him to come back to fulfill his billion years as well.
I guess when you have reincarnation as one of your big things.
Yeah. Well, it's about years between friends.
Yep.
You know?
So they have lots of local churches and missions. I say lots, not near as many as, you know, the Baptists, right? But there's several churches and missions.
So they have orgs, they have the churches, they have the missions. They did a campaign many years ago or a few years back trying to raise money to make these bigger orgs. The one here in DFW in Las Colinas is an example of that. They invest a lot of money, make these nice big things. They also have some smaller missions. Different people have sponsored. Some are fancier than others. They've really, in that campaign, tried to increase the level of fanciness of their different things. It has been rumored that a lot of them are not staffed or not staffed regularly. And people show up at these Scientology things and there's nobody there. It's been rumored that Scientology greatly inflates its number of people.
Oh, I'm sure.
But they own a lot of real estate. More real estate than most organizations. The Baptist Church would probably own more if they were all one thing, but they're not. They're all congregational. I'm sure they don't quite rival the Catholic Church, but I'm sure they rival some others. They own a lot of stuff around the world and a lot of places where it appears they just keep the lights on and keep it maintained, but it's not actually open to the public anymore.
So part of that self-preservation idea.
You know, I wonder if there's a Scientology mission in Texarkana. I'll have to look that up before we do our social episode.
Yeah. Part of me would be surprised because it's Texarkana, and then the other part of me absolutely would not be.
Right. I don't know which
Texarkana. Oh, gotta love our hometown. So the training and auditing services is provided, you know, at these orgs, missions, and churches. Talked about the ethics and discipline already. And outreach, something that they are apparently really supposed to be emphasizing, is outreach. Telling others about Scientology and passing out literature and doing the things that other religions do.
And I've seen some things of them doing that in like Clearwater in LA, where some of their bigger bases are at. I wonder why we haven't really seen much of that around here. Not that I spent a lot of time around their org in Las Colinas, but I've never been to an event and had Scientologists there. But yeah, that's one example. I mean,
I lived less than a mile from them. I guess it was a little bit more than that, 2 miles from them. And I don't recall ever seeing anything Scientology. I got a Tony Alamo flyer one day, but never anything Scientology.
Yeah. So I don't know. I don't know how much they really do or don't.
Right.
And that, when you they said may outreach, also... I thought you meant their humanitarian efforts to like help people during hurricanes and floods and fires and things.
No, but I do know that they do or talk about doing quite a bit of that.
There's not a lot of proof of that either. I've looked more looking, but from what I've read, there's not a whole lot of proof of them actually doing much of that.
Right.
But they make big videos about it. Have you yet checked out Scientology TV?
I've looked at the site, and I kind of started watching a video, and I just couldn't do the guy's voice. I just couldn't.
Oh. Well, they have other videos on there. You should check some out. Yeah. They're super high production value. They're a bunch of BS, but it's very interesting.
I'd much rather watch about St. Eurosmus' lion. So that takes us to the big one. Salvation. And spiritual progression. Hello, Google.
No, that was Xbox popping up achievements.
Oh.
My kid uses my Xbox account, and he just apparently he shot a shark from 100 meters in his video game.
Nice.
Yeah.
Nice. It's a lot more fun than talking about salvation in Scientology. So, you know, we kind of talked about it in the last episode, right? The idea of being clear is their start of salvation. So it's really the idea is best understood as spiritual freedom, enlightenment, and liberation from the limitations of the reactive mind.
Yeah, they don't really have like a hell type thing.
Right. Yeah. Could really have probably, a heaven and hell. Could probably almost liken it to a nirvana type of state. Except it's not nirvana in the afterlife. It's nirvana in the present life.
Yeah.
Kind of reaching that point of I don't have anywhere else to go. Right. To be spiritually enlightened and awakened.
Well, and I think a very important concept is, unlike Christianity, where there is the concept of sin, where you did something to cause this. Now, we have the original sin, but there's the concept of you're a sinner, right?
Mm-hmm.
All guilty of sin, everyone. But they don't really have that. So it's not that they're having to say, well, I did this to cause something. This happened to me, and I'm clearing these things.
Right. Yes. It's a very... it's a very reactive religion, right? This happened to me, and now I have to do something about it, right? Not I did something, right? It's not a idea of repentance at
all.
There
you go. That's what I said of the word repentance.
It's very much I'm not guilty, right? But I'm suffering the consequences of something else's actions. And so now I have to deal with it.
So you see how this could appeal to some people?
Oh, yeah.
You don't have to say, well, okay, I'm a guilty sinner. You don't have to get lost.
Yep.
You know,
yeah, that again, that American fast food religion of, you know, I can be a part of a religion and do better and be better, but I don't have to repent. I don't have to actually change.
Yes, Joel. Every time you say fast food religion, it makes me want a hamburger. And then I think about Frosties from Wendy's.
There you go.
Get the fries and you dip it in the Frosty.
So
how late are they open?
Probably just till 11. But reaching the state of clear, right, is really, really just the start of salvation for them. And then you start progressing into the OT levels, right? And that's a more in-depth spiritual path that leads to greater abilities and spiritual enlightenment.
We never did really talk about what are the OT levels past three.
What do you mean? What are they?
It's like what sort of things do you learn?
Four through seven.
What sort of things do you learn in those OT levels?
So you learn about the other incidents, but it's a lot of these documents that I have are a lot of process. A lot of questions and answers for the auditor. So to say necessarily what you learn, like, so OT4 solo, the main idea is to create and blow each line of the clearing course GPM with all the perceptics. That's not even a word. Is it? Probably, I don't know.
Probably is Scientology.
Right. Of force, effort, heat, impact, and unconsciousness of the original implant as much as you're able to. I'm sure that means something to someone.
Right, because of the implant.
Right, but it's, there's so much.
We didn't discuss the implant.
True. But it's a lot of, you know, mock up a non-atomic light and unmock it repetitively to EP. Yeah, so.
So we should also mention OT level 3 can only be done most of the time at Clearwater. Okay. Okay. And the other OT levels can only be done at, well, I think OT level 3 can be done at Clearwater or on, not Apollo, but the new ship they have on one of the ships in the Sea Org. The other OTs can only be done at Gold Base or at certain places. So they're very specific of where that can happen. And the church controls only certain auditors who are authorized to give those levels and do those things. Not a lot of people make it past. Even the people who make it pretty far to OT3 don't necessarily make it to the other, to the OT7.
Yep. Yeah, so OT5 is learning cause over mest, gaining freedom from fixated introversion into mest. Some matter, energy, space, and time, if y'all didn't listen to the previous episode.
Allows you to manipulate things.
It supposedly begins that cause over those things. Manipulation of the physical reality. I'm scrolling down to 6.
Think of the Matrix and you know, the bending the spoon thing.
Right.
You can bend the spoon when you realize there is no spoon.
Yep. So OT6 is familiarization as a Thetan exterior with the physical universe.
So another thing we hadn't talked about is part of what they believe is that you can leave your body during auditing and go, and they go, call it go external. So what they call it,
go exterior.
Go exterior. There you go. Go exterior. But you can leave your body and watch your body.
Mm-hmm.
That. Again, that's something other belief systems teach sometimes too.
Right.
I remember as a kid hearing adults talk about leaving their body and watching themselves from the sky.
Yeah. Yeah, so, you know, we had kind of mentioned in the history episode that Hubbard lived with a famous occultist, and astral projection is one of those things that falls into the occult really quickly.
There's the word, astral projection.
So the operating Thetan levels are that progression of spiritual progress, right? This progression results in engaging specific practices. This progression results from engaging in specific practices and auditing aimed at further discovery and clearing. So even though you've reached clear, right? You've kind of taken care of your reactive mind. Now you're working on all the other Thetans as well, and clearing their reactive minds, which are affecting your reactive mind, and getting even more clear.
Just never ends, does it?
Never ends. Yep.
So the highest person on this whole bridge is David Miscavige.
Mm-hmm.
The second highest is Tom Cruise.
Right.
It's crazy.
Yeah.
It's crazy. Yeah.
So once you reach OT, right, it enables the person to begin to operate without the restrictions of the physical universe, which gets into that going exterior and changing the world, you know, with your mind.
Yeah. Neo.
Affecting physical reality.
Yeah. You're Neo from the Matrix, or you're Dragon Ball Z or something, you know?
Yep.
So, anything else you want to cover about the teachings of Scientology?
I have a lot that I'm going to say in the response episode.
Right? Okay.
Stuff that we haven't necessarily covered here, right? Because if I got into it, I was going to just go ahead and fully respond to it right now, and then we wouldn't have another episode. So, but we'll, I've got a lot to bring up there, so make sure that you're paying attention for that one.
Okay. Well, listen, thanks for joining us, friends. Our next episode, we'll talk about the social issues. I got a whole lot to say about that, too.
Yep.
There's been a, they've got a long history. Mm-hmm. They're not an ancient religion. They're a fairly modern religion.
I mean, but 70
they've done
years
a lot
old.
Of stuff. And a lot of people have left in the last 20, 30 years and said a lot of things about it. So
right.
We got a lot to talk about. Till next time.
Till next time. Thank you for joining us here on Faith, Frauds, and Falsehoods. Don't forget that we have our website, faithfraudsfalsehoods.com, where we post a more detailed blog with references so that you can go and take a look at all of this information for yourself. Also, remember to share this with a friend and help us get the word out there for everyone else. We'll see you in the next one.